want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, and consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Aaron Rabel near the side of the glass to mass controls. At Aaron is blitzed at ESPN 97.5. On the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Today is like a day of closure. It's a day of finality. It's a day where I'm going to say about 68% of the city needs to buy a new football jersey. Because it is now official. Not only is J.J. Watt not a member of the Houston Texans, but he is a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Going off to join DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, Chandler Jones, Cliff Kingsbury, and play in the ultra-competitive NFC West. And now we have that closure of what is JJ's decision, where he's going to go, and, well, when NRG is allowed to have fans again next year, and assuming that all the fans go, because I'm assuming all the fans are still going to go, even if they win one game. On a normal day at NRG Stadium, there's probably, 40% of the people in the building wearing a Watt jersey? Wonder how many of them will have new jerseys next year. Oh, and if you have a Watson jersey, which is probably the second most popular jersey in the city, you're next! So, who is your jersey of choice? Will you continue to wear your Watt jersey or your Watson jersey? Will you buy a new jersey? Will you just not wear a jersey? Tough decisions for Texans fans. And one that maybe affects the psyche of the fan. I'm interested to hear from Texans fans on this. You know the number, 713-780-3776. I'm interested to hear from Texans fans on this. The Cardinals have now gotten both DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans, and what the Texans have is David Johnson and Brandon Cooks. How do we feel about this? Especially since the latest report is the Texans are willing to bring David Johnson back at a lower number. Of course, $2.1 million of his contract is already guaranteed. So how much more do you have to pay him? Brandon Cook's contract is reasonable and not guaranteed. But if we're going to compare Brandon Cooks to DeAndre Hopkins, it's really not a comparison. And that's not to slight Brandon Cooks, who's a good player. Brandon Cooks is a good player. DeAndre Hopkins is an elite player. We've passed, excellent and great and gone right to elite. J.J. Watt is still an impactful player. He was rated among the top 15 edge rushers in the league last year. He was double teamed a league high 30% of the time. Number one among all edge rushers. And that despite the fact that, or maybe partly due to the fact that, well, the Texans didn't have anybody else who could actually rush. Except maybe Jacob Martin, but he wasn't allowed on the field. Yeah, you know, Texans line JJ up, you know, basically, you know, at the nine spots, he's off the tight end shoulder. He was out there pretty wide. But JJ Watt double teamed on 30% of his rushes, and JJ Watt also among the leaders in pass rush win rate. That matters. Matters a lot. Imagine if he had any help at all. Is it too late to try to trade Whitney Mercilus? And what would you take for Whitney Mercilus? David Johnson? But now we see the Arizona Cardinals will have J.J. Watt on one side and Chandler Jones on the other. And since 2012... The two guys with the most sacks in the NFL are Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. And with J.J. being double-teamed 30% of the time and in 2019, which was Chandler Jones' last full season, he was doubled 16% of the time. They're going to have to pick your poison. That you're going to go max protect and only run two receivers. Last season, J.J. Watt's pass rush win rate was 20.4. And when he played the nine technique, it was almost 23%. Jones was 17.8. Those are high numbers for those of you, you know, keeping score at home. The Cardinals just got a hell of a tandem pass rush. And the Texans, who could have talked to J.J. Watt's representatives really since last season, could have talked to J.J. Watt's representatives and gotten a short list of where he might want to play, let him pick his team. Could have traded him to the Arizona Cardinals and gotten at least, you know, some kind of a draft pick. Instead, just let him go for nothing because, you know, J.J. Watt doesn't have any value. And this is where the Texans are. Watching the face of the franchise, the greatest player in team history, sign with another team, 2 years and $31 million, and $23 million of it guaranteed. So where does that leave you as a Texans fan? Does it hurt to see J.J. Watt put on another jersey? I mean, did it hurt to see him post on Twitter? Source, me, him working out, because when is J.J. posting a picture of him not working out? Working out, wearing a shirt that says Arizona Cardinals. I see people tell me online, they're going to go buy a Cardinals jersey. How many of you are buying Cardinals jerseys? I don't know. Maybe the Texan fan is so numb to bad news at this point. It just rolls off. Like, whatever. It's just another piece of bad news. What else could there be? Just roll with the punch. Not a big deal. See DeAndre Hopkins going on Twitter. And look, Hop has been the living embodiment of there's no petty like sports petty. Because he loves tweaking the Texans. And Hopkins went on Twitter and wrote, "Life is good in Arizona." You know, Hop went on social media last month, you know, tried to pitch him to join the Cardinals. And if we think about JJ's, what, three special steps in order to find another team, how to have a big-time quarterback, how to have supporting personnel, and then money. Do we count Kyler Murray as a big-time quarterback? Is Kyler Murray in the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson conversation? Is Kyler Murray in the Dak Prescott conversation? Kyler Murray's got some pretty damn good weapons. And let's see, last year, 3,971 yards in the air, 67% completion. It's not bad. It's pretty good, actually. 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. Picks are a little high. Knocked down a lot of sacks. He was sacked 48 times his rookie year, only 27 times last season. On top of that, ran for 819 yards and 11 touchdowns. I feel like he may not be in the elite category, but whatever the first step down is, maybe that's where Kyler Murray is. And it's only his third year in the league, so it's not like he can't get better. He's got some pretty damn good receivers. Oh, he's got some guy named DeAndre Hopkins. That dude's awesome. And then after Hop, he's got Christian Kirk. You know, Larry Fitzgerald didn't really have a big impact last year. But Hop had 1,400 yards. Kirk was over 600. Yeah, that offense will be pretty good again. Between Kenyon Drake, Kyler Murray, and Chase Edmonds, they ran for 2,200 yards. That doesn't suck. Cardinals are going to be an interesting team this year. And while their odds haven't gotten a lot better, I think they went from like 7-1 to 6-1 to win the division, which would still be the worst odds to win the division. They're about to become a trendy pick to win that division. Texans continuing to Texan. And really interesting thing posted today by Josh Reed, who is the sports director at WIVB Television in Buffalo, regarding what a Texan staffer said about J.J. Watt. Next. When we call up on the show what made them the shot toss.
When my homies pull up on... This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, let me tell you all about Bracket Madness 2021, because, yeah, it's that time again. ESPN 97.5's third annual Bracket Madness, presented by Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade, supported by C-Force Water and Dr. Linville with Hair Solutions Houston. We'll be giving prizes to 97.5 winners. The .5 winner is the penultimate winner, second to last in the whole bracket. And did we mention this is all free? Prizes include $50 gift cards to Roosters Men's Grooming, El Tiempo, Uber Eats, Casa de Brazil, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com and get yourself registered pronto. Because who doesn't like free stuff? Anytime we can take NCAA tournament plus games plus free stuff. Yeah, that's definitely what's up. All right, so Josh Reed is the sports director, WIVB, in Buffalo. And he had a very interesting tweet today. He had put it out to Bills fans, who many of whom are probably feeling a little hurt in the back door because JJ did not choose them. And he said, "I spoke to someone who was on the Texans coaching staff with Watt, and the review wasn't glowing. He's selfish, only cared about his stats. He does a lot of things that hurts the defense. He hurt us more than he helped us. And finally, I wouldn't want him." Someone on the coaching staff with J.J. Watt. How many people on the Texans coaching staff or affiliated with the Texans do you think would have passed that kind of a review on J.J. Watt, considering he is basically beloved in the locker room? Never heard a coach say one bad thing about J.J. his whole damn life. But on his way out the door, he goes somewhere and somebody is talking the junk on J.J. Watt. Are you surprised? Do you feel like this is somebody who maybe currently with the Texans or somebody formerly with the Texans? Because the whole, you know, selfish, hurts the defense, etc. I think we all know where those things all come from, right? Where would we think such a thing would come from? How many people here do you think would say such a thing about J.J. Watt? Maybe one? And he's not really a coach? Would he be your choice? Would you think such a thing would come from one Jack Easterby? Do you want to think such a thing would came from a Jack Easterby? Do you think such a thing would come from a Texans coach who was let go by Jack Easterby and he's just angry? Because I don't think that one would be... I don't think that one would be in there. Now, Aaron, how many former Texans staffers are currently on the Buffalo Bills coaching staff? Do we know how many current Bills coaches have Houston Texans ties? I feel like there's at least one. And even if there is one, I don't know that I feel like a former Texans coach would be slamming J.J. Watt like that. But I think it'd be interesting to find out. Because there's a guy in Buffalo talk to a current Bills coach who used to be on the Texans, or does he somehow reach out to somebody that he knows? Because, look, if you're the sports director at a television station, you get a lot of contacts. And you could probably get one of those contacts to get you in touch with somebody. It wouldn't be that hard. You know, I feel like this is kind of a lousy thing that we've done. Okay, so John Butler, the defensive backs coach, he was with the Texans. Let's see. He was with the Texans for a few years, 2014 to 2017. Texans allowed the fourth fewest passing yards per game, third fewest third down conversions, and the ninth lowest passer rating. Finished 2016 first in total defense, second fewest passing yards, 2015 and 2016 division wins. 2017, of course, they got Deshaun Watson. He got hurt. They had to live with Tom Savage. They fell apart. J.J. Watt was still playing 2015 and 2016 like J.J. Watt. So I don't see why John Butler would have made that kind of comment, because when he was still with the Texans, J.J. Watt was still J.J. Watt. And I don't think anybody would tell you that in 2015 or 2016, J.J. Watt was hurting the team. That he was so selfish of a player on the field that other teams were able to take advantage of J.J. Watt. That would seem a little far-fetched. In fact, in 2015, J.J. had 17 and a half sacks, led the league. In 2016, he played three games and he got hurt. In 2017, he played five games and he got hurt. So for one of those years, it was part of that four-year run where he just dominated everything. Yeah, I don't think teams were taking advantage of the Texans in 2015. Just going out on a limb there. So I don't think it's John Butler. That doesn't even make any sense. But I do think it's interesting that someone who was on the Texans coaching staff with Watt would make that kind of a statement. Because I can really only think of one person who would make that kind of a statement. The same kind of person who would float ideas of, you know, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't practice well and, you know, the baby mamas are a problem. Who would baby mamas be a problem to? Because I got to tell you, I don't think Bill O'Brien would give a flying rat's tail about baby mamas when he didn't care if his players kneeled. Bill O'Brien was the guy who finally got the Texans to bring in guys who didn't have squeaky clean resumes. I'm 100% certain Bill O'Brien didn't give a flying rat's tail about baby mamas. But I could think of someone who would. I can think of someone who would feel that the good book tells us we should not have multiple baby mamas. I think we know where that would come from. I think we know where this kind of thing would come from. And the fact that this is out there only further will divide the Texans locker room away from management and ownership. This just reinforces their notion that the team did not have leadership outside of the players. We're talking staff, coaches, management. Did not have the leadership of a strong organization, which is a beef the players had last year that they asked Deshaun Watson to bring to the owner. And, of course, the owner responded by hiring a head coach with absolutely zero experience, because somehow that was going to make it better. Yeah, if I'm a Texans fan, I wonder, like, am I angry or am I just numb at this point? Because just throw me some bad news and I know it's me. Man, we haven't even gotten to Deshaun Watson yet. Really interesting rumor regarding what a team, one particular team, is alleged to be willing to give up to get Deshaun Watson. Next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
I want to talk about my good friend Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. You know, for over 20 years, I dealt with extreme sinus pain, constant sinus infection. It led to absolutely crazy snoring and even sleep apnea. For two decades, I would call a doctor up, say, hey, I need a Z-Pak. They'd call it into the pharmacy. I'd go pick it up, and that would alleviate my sinus infection for a couple of months, and then I'd get another one. I met Dr. Ben a little over a year and a half ago, and he's the first doctor I ever went to that wanted to know why I kept getting sinus infections. He's got a brand-new facility up in North Houston. Went up there. They did the CT scan right there in his office. They do everything in his office. You never have to go, you know, get a referral for another doctor or another facility. Everything is done right there at Dr. Ben's office in North Houston. He was able to put the results up on the wall, explain to me what was going on. He spoke regular English, not medicalese, so I could actually understand it. We put a plan of action together, and eventually I had surgery. They removed staph infection from my sinus, which was why I kept getting that recurring sinus infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty to fix all the damaged tissues in my sinus cavity from just years of infection issues. And they did a septoplasty. They fixed the deviated septum that I didn't even know I had. And since that day, I have not had a sinus headache. I have not had a sinus infection. I no longer snore. I no longer have sleep apnea. It has changed my life. I used to wake up feeling more tired than when I went to bed. Now I wake up, I feel good. I feel refreshed. I'm ready to tack on the day. If you've experienced any of these things, if you deal with the sinus infections that never stop, if you snore really loudly, if you have sleep apnea and you're tired of that big, giant, ugly CPAP on your face all the time, you need to go see Dr. Ben. Schedule an appointment for a consultation with Dr. Ben Salento. Stop and write this down or take out your cell phone, open up the notepad, and punch in this number, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313, or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule your consultation with Dr. Ben Salento and tell him I sent you by. So somebody texted us, Aaron. They texted us. It just says, Mom, and then there's a phone number. Is there something I should know about?
I got nothing.
It's like, it's not my mom's phone number. You know, are they trying to like tell me like, hey, I want to be your mom? I mean, that kind of.
Maybe it's Janice McNair.
Where is.
Maybe Cal did it on accident.
Where is area code 903? I know sometimes there's local area codes and I just don't know them. But I'm not familiar with that.
North Texas.
Okay.
Northeast Texas.
So somebody in Northeast Texas sent us a text that says, Mom, and they put in a phone number. I feel like I should crank text it later just to, you know, have fun with them.
You report back on that.
Aaron's like, I want no part of this. How many times when you were a kid did you, like, crank call somebody? Or?
Oh, we did it all the time.
Did you use cell phones, use pay phones?
No, this is way before cell phones, and this is before caller ID.
I didn't know you were that old.
Yeah.
Every time
we didn't get caller ID until I was in fifth grade, sixth grade.
Yeah, but were you really using the phone before you were in fifth
oh,
grade?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. See, we started in like second or third grade making crank calls.
I didn't even start using the phone really until, And outside of sports, because back then, we all, like, every player on the team would have a roster and a phone and a phone list. And then if there was a rain out or a change in a practice or a game, you had to play a telephone game, and you always called the next person on the list and the next person on the list, and you'd have to go on down the line. Other than that, I didn't use the phone probably when I was in like seventh grade. I mean, back then we had rotary phones. You could slam the phone down and it would go bing.
You didn't have the phone until sixth grade. So before that, it was just, you know, give a note to a guy on a horseback and he sends him off.
God, what the hell did Fred have if I had that?
They had falcons, literally, and doves.
But, you know, it was, you used to pay by the minute to make phone calls. And anything outside of your area code was long distance. And you had to pay long distance charges. So it's not like today, you know, everything, anything in the United States is the same. Like, you just pay your $40 a month, whatever, and you're good. So, you know, I grew up in my grandmother's house. My grandmother would have an egg timer, and she'd set it for like 90 seconds. And that's how long I had to talk on the phone before I had to get off. Unless it was like sports call where I had to call the next kid on the team. But generally, you were allowed 90 seconds on the phone. After that, hang up. That was it. We didn't have the, you know, the super long phone cord. We didn't have the super long phone cord until I was in high school. Because my grandmother was the one who was always on the phone. And the phone was in the kitchen, and she would be in the kitchen. She'd sit at the kitchen table in her spot, and she'd just be on a phone. She'd be on a phone peeling potatoes. She'd be on the phone making this, making that. But she was on a phone, usually with one of her sisters. And they would just talk, like, for hours. But I remember I had 90 seconds. That was it. So when we made crank calls, we went down to what we called the beer distributor. Because it was different. I know the laws are different here than they were in New York, when still are. But there was a dairy place, and then right next to it was what we called the beer distributor, where they had beer, and then they had like the Hammer soda and the C&C soda, like all the different flavors, the no-name brands, but they were all the different flavors, and you'd order them for parties. And they'd come in the big glass bottle, and then you'd bring the bottles back when they were empty. So they had payphones, and that's where you'd make all your crank calls from. One time we crank called the same person for so many months, they actually got the police involved, and they were back then trying to trace where the calls were coming from because, like I said, there was no caller ID. And they finally traced us down to within like a two-town radius, and that's when we knew we had to stop crank calling that person. We had to find somebody else. We really pushed our luck with that. I know you're really surprised.
We once called an escort service to a buddy of ours. Like, he was in on, like, his older brother. He was in on it. Like, his younger brother was in on it. And we called an escort service and had a lady show up while he and his buddies and his girlfriend were all hanging out, watching TV, playing video games. And she showed up and she knocked on the door and she was like, "Y'all called for entertainment?" And his girlfriend answered the door and was like, "The hell we did. Get your ass out of here." They didn't find out until about 10 years later. And then, yeah.
Then you got an earful, didn't you?
Oh, no. They thought it was hilarious. Later.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
We just bought a beer and called it good.
See, that's cool. Like, I know people who would have probably gone like on the straight bitch out offensive over something like that. It's like, it was 10 years ago. Get over it. Do you know how much trouble you got me in? Dude, it was 10 years ago. Get over it. Like, that was like 9 girls ago. Like, what are you bitching about? Like, she was so mad at me. Didn't you dump her like 3 weeks later? Well, yeah, but you know that argument happens with people. Hey, so latest Deshaun Watson rumor, which I gotta tell you, I don't know how much stock I can put in this, but it comes from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. And, you know, he's not a bad reporter. So Fowler said, speaking to several people around the league, it's more the NFL draft in late April that could move the Texans. I spoke to one GM that said he expects the team. He didn't say a team. He said the team to throw its entire draft or two entire drafts at Houston in the late hours of the draft, saying, here, you can have it all if I can have your quarterback. Maybe that makes the Texans do something. All right, this doesn't make any sense to me. And this is why. If you're a GM, why would you say you expect your own team to throw a whole draft or two drafts at the Texans? Why would you put that out there and basically give the Texans leverage that, hey, we could get this super ridiculous offer from somebody? I feel like if you are a GM that wants to get Deshaun Watson, you wouldn't say that. But if you're a GM who's not trying to get Deshaun Watson, would you try to bump up the price by saying something like that? Because it is lying season. Fowler, of course, did not say he spoke with Nick Caserio. But how would you feel about a team just giving you their whole draft? Pick one, pick two, pick three, those are good. After that, you know, not really a great value. Two whole drafts, it's still only two firsts, two seconds, and two thirds. Unless that team happens to have more.
Yeah, it depends on their compensatory picks. It depends. I mean, if it's a team that has draft picks from another team, you end up getting maybe two firsts, 4 seconds, or three firsts, 2 seconds, four thirds. That'll start a rebuild.
So the Panthers have all their picks, and they might have an additional. Let's see. They looks like they gave up a conditional seventh. And 22, they have all their picks, but they're just basic picks. They don't have any extra picks. And they're the team that supposedly, from reports so far, has the owner that's willing to do anything to get a franchise quarterback to his team. I feel like two firsts, 2 seconds, two thirds, it's not enough. All right, anything after the third round, I can't even count as value for Deshaun Watson. Thirds are barely value for Deshaun Watson. But I think it's interesting that there is a team that's willing to throw a draft or two at the Texans to get Deshaun Watson, because it sounds like it's a huge haul. But maybe it really isn't. And maybe some GM out there realizes two ones, two twos, two threes, that's not a lot to give up for Deshaun Watson. Better have some cap space, though. Split hits. He's going for speed. She's
all alone in a time of need. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, so for those of you who have maybe reservations about Miles Straw being at top of the lineup, well, early returns and extreme small sample size here, but early returns are strong. Yesterday, Astros' first spring training action of the season. Miles Straw in the leadoff spot. 2 for 2. Can't be better than 2 for 2, by the way. Not can you? Yesterday, Kyle Tucker went 1 for 2 with a double and a run scored. And Jason Castro was 2 for 2 with an RBI. Now, they didn't win yesterday. They didn't do a whole lot offensively other than those guys. But today in game 2, why the Astros did get a victory. 7-6 over the Nationals. As the youngins, the nobodies, the kids you haven't heard of yet, they plated 5 in the 9th. And that does not suck. You know, they got Nivaldo Rodriguez gave him 2 shutout innings to start the game. Outside of Steve Cishek, who had a rough outing, gave up 3 solo homers. Nobody else on that list. Probably anybody you're really familiar with. But Astros today, let's see, good performances. Steven Souza Jr., he went 1 for 2. He had a couple of ribs. He had his first home run of the year, 2-run shot. Other guys who had hits, Abraham Toro had a hit. Machete had a hit. He was 1 for 2. Degatti had a hit. Dawson had a hit. De La Cruz had a hit. They only had 7 hits. But they drew 5 walks. They scored 7 times. 5 in the 9th. So you got some positivity. Correa 0 for 2. Altuve 0 for 1 with a walk. Gurriel 0 for 2. Certainly not anything to be worried about. But when it comes to the guys that you don't know or the guys that you know who are battling for a spot, whether it be an everyday spot or a bench spot. For example, Chaz McCormick went 0 for 2. To see that Straw came out of the gate hot with a pair of hits, that's certainly better than a pair of strikeouts. And one game isn't going to make everything, but it was nice to see him start the year with a good game, start the spring training season with a good game. Now, the Astros will go to Port St. Lucie tomorrow and play the Mets. And according to Chandler Rome, Miles Straw, Aledmys Diaz, Jason Castro, Michael Brantley, they're all going to Port St. Lucie tomorrow. So all 4 of those guys should be in the lineup for tomorrow's game. Like you, I am very frustrated. I can't watch games on television. And saw on the Twitch feed, from one of the guys on Twitch, and I'm drawing a blank of who it is because a lot of messages came barreling through and it kind of eliminated everything where things were okay. Yeah, all right, here I found it. All right. AT&T Sportsnet Southwest or Root Sports or whatever the hell they're called now is not televising any Astros spring training games until the 14th. This is a massive whiff to me because the Texans are a bleep show. The Rockets are a bleep show. The Astros are the one positive thing in pro sports in this city, and you could be getting everybody hyped up for Astros baseball. You know what? I would watch Astros spring training. Bunch of guys wearing numbers 60, 70, 80, and 90 before I watch the Rockets play a regular season game right now. I'd be all over as much Astros content as possible. They're the only good content of any pro team in the city. Give me more Astros content. And they're not going to do anything Astros for 2 weeks. And that, to me, is just a massive miscalculation. You know, oh, well, you know, it costs so much money to send a team out there to call the games and, you know, to send the camera guys out there as if those cameras, like, aren't already there. So you got to send a few people. You got to put a truck out there, which may also already be there. I am not a fan of that decision. I want to watch all the baseball, the spring training baseball I can get. Especially in a city where the baseball team is the good team. You should be trying to make this football town a baseball town. I mean, the Texans are doing half the work for you. Should be making this a baseball town. Where is James Click? Get on the phone. Call up your TV partner. Get us on the damn television. Unbelievable you're not on. I mean, it's like, hey, the Astros, you're basically, I mean, I can't imagine you're not going to draw a ton of eyes. Nobody wants to watch the Rockets right now. They stink. They've lost 11 games in a row. And you know what? They need to stink. They need to keep losing. They need a top four draft pick. Because then it doesn't move. They keep it. It's top four protected. Go back to thinking about when that deal was made, the Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook deal, the idea that the Rockets could possibly have a top four pick. Here we are, a year later, and the Rockets are looking to potentially having a top four pick. So I am all for Rockets just keep losing. Astros aren't going to keep losing. The Astros are going to be good. I said, barring major injury, the Astros are going to win 90-something games. You got to get them on the television. You got to get them on before the 14th. Like, if you're the Astros, you've got to make some phone calls. You got to do whatever it takes. You can't. I mean, look, AT&T Sportsnet or Root Sports, whatever the hell they're called, it's not like they run programming all day long. They only run the games. They're not like other RSNs that have all-day programming. They're not Yes Network or SNY or Nessun. They're not running stuff all day. They're off the air until a game is on. Get the damn game on. Late hits. Ruin our eyes, the move was to describe how we lose control.
ESPN 97.5.